May I speak in the name of the one God who is lover, beloved, and love overflowing. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to also begin with a prayer for the feast day of the Epiphany, which just passed this past Tuesday. Let us pray. O God, by the leading of a star, you manifested your only Son to the peoples of the earth. Lead us who know you now by faith to your presence, where we may see your glory face to face. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. It is good to be back at St. Stephen's. I was gone for a couple weeks on a winter break that coincided with the students' winter break, and just made it back 2 days ago from Jackson Hole, Wyoming, where a friend from seminary is from, one of the few people actually from Jackson Hole. It was glorious, and I arrived there on this past Monday evening. And as her parents welcomed me to dinner on Tuesday, the following day, I said to them, "Christmas is over." And they said, "What?" And I said, they're so confused because they are Quakers. And for them, the liturgical calendar isn't a part of their tradition. And they said, "What do you mean Christmas is over? Wasn't it over a week and a half ago?" I said, "Well, the 12 days of Christmas. We as Episcopalians and part of the liturgical tradition of the church live in Christmas for 12 days after Christmas Day." And I said, "Today is the Epiphany." I said, what's an Epiphany? And so I told them the story that we are still living in today, of the three wise men, the three magi, the three kings, whatever you'd like to call them, who came and visited the infant Jesus on this Epiphany day last Tuesday. And it is an Epiphany because Epiphany means epi, which is upon or on. Phani means to shine or appear. It is the day that the light of the world was shining to the world for the first time. Previously, that light, Jesus, was only shining to the Holy Family in the privacy of the Holy Family and those animals in the manger. But on Epiphany Day, we celebrate that light is present to the Gentiles. And that means to each and every one of us, unless you were born and raised Jewish, each and every one of us, this light is shined out to the ends of the earth, to those three wise men who came from the east. They represent Jesus's light, God's light in the world being known to all people, being made public. Epiphany, this appearing upon to the world, this light manifesting upon. And today, I'd like to first read from one of our Episcopal resources called Lesser Feasts and Fasts. It's a great collection where we get to commemorate these feast days like Epiphany, and they give us a little bit more insight or depth into this life of the church that we are caught up in. In the Lesser Feasts and Fasts, it says, the name Epiphany is derived from a Greek word meaning manifestation or appearing. Anglican prayer books interpret the word as the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. The last phrase, of course, is a reference to the story of the Magi from the East. A Christian observance on January 6th is found as early as the end of the 2nd century in Egypt. The feast combined commemorations of three events that were considered manifestations of the incarnate Lord. That is, the visit of the Magi, led by the star of Bethlehem, the baptism of Jesus in the waters of the Jordan River, and Jesus' first recorded miracle, the changing of water into wine at the wedding of Cana. Epiphany is the primary feast of the incarnation in Eastern churches, that is, in the Orthodox churches. And the threefold emphasis, these three epiphanies, are still prominent in the church writ large. Yet in the Western churches, the Roman Catholic Church, the Episcopal Church, the Lutheran churches, we tend to overshadow those other two events for the baptism of our Lord today, for the Magi as the Epiphany. And today, the Epiphany in the Eastern Church is celebrated as the baptism of our Lord. That is what they call the Theophany that they celebrate this Sunday. That is their Epiphany. And in the historic church, we take on that as Epiphany as well, and still celebrate those three Magi appearing to us on Tuesday. So this season that we're caught up in, the season of the church's life, is called Epiphanytide, the season of God's light being broken into our lives again and again and again. And today we celebrate the Epiphany, the first Sunday in the Epiphany season, of Jesus' baptism. Jesus' baptism is this time where we come to know our baptism, where we come to know Jesus' life in us and our life in Jesus. And what do we see when we enter into this gospel mystery? We see that the baptism of Jesus confounds our minds today, just as it confounded the mind of John the Baptist 2,000 years ago. John the Baptist says to Jesus, "I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?" You can almost hear the confounding doubt in his voice. Why, Jesus, are you coming to me when I need to be baptized by you? And how does Jesus respond? He says, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." It is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. In the act of Jesus' baptism, God is showing us that we are caught up in the great epiphany of Christ, that we are all a part of the body of Christ. We are adopted siblings in God through Christ. We are caught up in the same destiny that Jesus went through as well. One of my mentors, Matthew, an Episcopal priest in Woodstock, says that Jesus is the icon or the sacrament of our true humanity. For what Jesus goes through, what God the Father says to Jesus, God the Father says to each one of us. And in our gospel, there is an epiphany, which is that, but there is also a theophany. Theophany comes from the same word as epiphany, as you can see from the ending. It means epiphany is that shining or appearance, and theo is God, God's manifestation. You see it throughout the scriptures. The burning bush in the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible is a theophany. And the next theophany that we see here in our gospel is the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus like a dove and alighting on him. And what does God the Father say to Jesus, the great sacrament or icon of our humanity? In other words, what does he say to each one of us? God says, "This is my son. This is my daughter. This is my child, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." For God says this not only to Jesus, but God says this to each and every one of us. This is the echo that resounds in the human heart. This is the voice that created us in our mother's womb. This is the voice that redeems us in love incarnate, in the beloved, in Jesus. "You are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased." For I am convinced that if we truly took this statement to heart, if we truly woke up each morning and read and reread and reread this scripture as God's voice speaking into our hearts, our world would look radically different than it does today. If each person knew their innate belovedness, why would violence be committed in defense of possession of what is mine? Why would violence be committed when we look in the face of another beloved? And in our world today, whether in Minnesota or Venezuela or in Gaza or in Sudan or Ukraine, we see violence committed upon the children of God, upon those same children who God whispers in their ear each morning, "You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased." And what does Jesus do? Jesus, as always, tries to get our attention and institutes for us a sacrament, a miracle called baptism. This is Jesus' way of showing us, come to me, come to the love, come to the light that enlightens the world. Come, not because you must, but simply because you may, because the world needs you. Come, come. And today is one of those days in the church's calendar where we have the chance, the great gift, to renew our baptismal covenant, our lives in Christ. This happens on Easter Vigil, on Pentecost, on All Saints Day, and on the baptism of our Lord the first Sunday after Epiphany today. And we will be doing that in just a moment. When we do, I invite you to recommit yourself to that voice from God that calls you beloved, with whom God is well pleased, and to recommit yourself in the light of God's love to see each person you meet as God's beloved, with whom God is well pleased. Amen.
Amen.